TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 6, Episode 2. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, and I am so honored to introduce today's conversation. Today, Henry Milton joins us on the podcast to share a bit about his work as a training and consultation specialist, as well as his journey to TBRI and the Care and Purvis Institute. Henry is a longtime teammate here at the Institute and is a beloved trainer who has been part of TBRI practitioner training from early on, years and years. This episode is part of our mini-series with the members of our team who train during TBRI practitioner training sessions and also travel globally to teach, learn from, and support organizations who are implementing TBRI on a systemic level. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this conversation with our hosts, Sarah Mercado and Henry Milton.
Hey, Henry, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah, Emily, thank you for having me.
I'm excited that you're here. Would you just introduce yourself kind of briefly to our audience and then tell them maybe just the primary geographic regions that you serve with your work at the Institute?
All right. I'm Henry Milton. I'm a training specialist now, and I've been here for 13 years. Wow. You think about it when you say it all the time, but you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Working with a lot of agencies, kind of primary was Tarrant County. So that's all of Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth areas, and all those neighboring cities that touch Fort Worth. Then we've branched out, as you know, we've kind of grown a lot. So I'm doing a lot of stuff international. So I'm doing some Brazil people I'm supporting out there, some people in Africa, and some Mexico folks that I'm working with. And then also in the different regions of the United States. So you have some Northwest folks that I'm working with in the Pacific Northwest. So it's just been just broader as it grows, and I'm just trying to stay ready and be ready for them.
There you go. Yeah. I think you always are. Have you always been a natural at TBRI, or has it required some practice for you? I was not a natural. I was the first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know. But what was that experience like for you?
It was not natural for at first. And for once, when I came in, it was just hard to kind of, I'm like wondering if, can I do this? You know, I mean, I've worked in different places, but it was not natural at first. My dad was military background, and my mom was Southern Baptist from deep East Texas. So
okay.
Not saying that they were bad parents or anything like that, but it was just a little bit different than TBRI. It took a little
yes,
while.
Yes, sir. I know.
A little bit different. So just trying to not sound like, you know, I'm the drill sergeant, or being a little different in some situations took a little while, but there was a lot of stuff that was put in me early that I started noticing that I'm doing TBRI a lot. So that was encouraging and kept me encouraged to stay, and having Karen and David support as I grew into it. So yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I was definitely not a natural, and I'm getting more natural now, but it's a practice for sure.
It is.
Do you have a favorite TBRI principle?
Well, when I started training, I think we took right around, I took pretty good with empowering. And that was the one that resonated with me, because at the time my kids were very young. And I did not understand some of the behaviors I was seeing with some of my my son, especially, and my daughter, and the sensory piece really resonated with me. And I talked to Dr. Purvis and Dr. Cross a lot about that, and the information in there, and physical activity. And so just trying to do those. I had my son the other day, told me that, you know, for the first time, you know, he wanted to stay outside longer. He wanted to fish. And I was thinking, man, you know, that's the power right there of, you know, getting out there, getting that physical activity, his sensory elements. He wanted to stay, you know, outside longer versus coming home. And I was thinking, man, we're arriving.
Right. Yeah. Is he a video game kid?
Yeah. And he is a video game kid. He's with his friends now, probably playing video games. My daughter also video game. But just sometimes you get worried about how long are they going to be on there? And that sensory physical aspect of empowering kind of made me think about, you know, how to balance it out. But just to have them buy into it and him saying, I want to go fishing. I want to be outside. And he knows he loves that. And my daughter likes to ride her bike. That's really good. So that principle was great for me.
Yeah. And it's fun as the kids begin to get older and can identify those needs on their own.
So like
you coached him so long and now he's like, no, I think I need to be outside. This feels right. And I love when we get to that point and sometimes they connect to the things that we've been sort of coaching them in and scaffolding their, you know, regulation and all
planting
of that.
Planting seeds, you know.
Planting seeds. Amen. What about a strategy? We know that each of the principles have strategies embedded in them. Is there one that is easiest for you?
I say the easiest right now has been play. I think play is something that came natural to me. I did a lot of camps when I was young, and then to be able to jump into the Hope Connection camp and play, it just became my happy place. And when I'm with the kids, I kind of find myself being that big kid again. So play was just one that kind of came natural. I'm trying to use it more in different aspects, but just being spontaneous with play, being unpredictable sometimes with play, just being authentic with play. I've just been trying to do more of that. And I think that's the one that comes natural for me.
Yeah, I love that. I think our whole team says Camp Henry is our favorite Henry because you get out there with the kids and it's so fun to watch just like, you know, the kids light up and they're excited, but you light up and you're excited too. And that is that it's so fun. I love getting to observe like all of your activities that you come up with and things at camp. That's really fun. So
yeah, thank you.
That'll be fun to come back around to in the fall.
Oh yeah.
Is there a strategy that's hardest for you?
I think the one that's been hard is trying to be mindful. That one, because I have so much history and I'm parenting kids of minority children. And so I'm really trying to get them ready for this world. And sometimes my urgency kicks in so much. So I have to keep remembering that this is not about me in these situations and stand in those moments and not having all of my thoughts and all of my urgencies, all my you know, this is a matter of fact, we have to do this. This is important. Take me away from those in the moment situations. So mindfulness has been one that I'm really trying to grow with in my own history. That I'm glad we had that in there. That was really one of the ones that drew me into TBRI, just to see that we're talking about our own stuff also when it comes to our kids. That was the missing piece for me in a lot of my professional background, but also in my parenting background.
Sure. Yeah, I've always said that I think that TBRI is for the adults more than the kids.
Yeah.
Because if we can get the adults to connect with themselves, then we can, and do our work, then we can connect with the kids. And mindfulness, man, that's a doozy too. And, you know, it's hard when we're in a space of having fear for our kids and to stay mindful. That is, man, well done focusing on that, because that sounds really challenging.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you have that. Yeah.
So, you know, we're both parents. Have you ever needed a redo? Have you ever been the one that needed a redo? And are you willing to share with our listeners the time that you did and kind of what that looked like?
Yeah, I'll be transparent a little bit on this one. This is going back to my kids. You know, yes, the answer is yes. I had a lot of
me too
redos, and I've had the moments where I go, is that a TBRI moment here? Are we trying to do this TBRI, you know? And I can just think back, pushing back up on that history thing was with my daughter. She's, you know, really creative and animated and has all kind of creative ideas. My son is the same. They're both really good kids, but you're trying to get them prepared for life, right? And so that urgency kicks in. And I had moments in homework. That was really where I wanted to do redo, where my background was not really good in school. I had a horrible school system. I wouldn't say a horrible school system, but I had a horrible situations in the past where I don't think I was prepared. And a lot of that was because of being homeless in situations where I was homeless. That wasn't the primary. And so now I'm in the academic world. I want to sound a certain way. I want to present myself a certain way. I was really nervous about homework. And when I saw 60 or 50, it was a fire.
Right.
And I made that so much about my own insecurities and my own urgency that I made it so much about that work and grades that my kids were really coming to me to try to please me. And now say, hey, you know what? I just didn't do well on that test. And so we went from language that I had to share with them to say, I love you and I still want you. But I wish I can go back in a lot of those moments. I can't take all of that back, but I am moving forward when I respond to homework situations, grades, projects. And I think that's been great because now I see them now coming to me, whereas they would go to mom or somebody because they know dad will react. He's going to react. Once he sees this grade, he is going to react. And I have to be mindful of that. So I wish I can go back, but right now going forward, I see myself helping my kids out with projects. And that's been something I want to go back, but I'm glad I'm doing better with that now. So,
yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Man, parenting is so hard and Henry, I was listening to you and I was thinking like, you just shared that you went from homeless and now I hope it's okay to share with our listeners. You're actually working on your PhD and what a story you have. And we're just honored that you're sharing those parts with us because it's so important to know that wherever we are on the trajectory, TBRI fits. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard when our own parenting fears pop up and freak out. And one of the ways that I know I can get distracted is that I've done training in my girls' school district for the schools. Wow. And then if they go in and are dysregulated, then I feel like a bad parent. Well, they're dysregulated. Everybody gets dysregulated. Right. So that's important. Thank you for sharing that. What about a time that it just went so well? And you were like, oh my gosh, that worked so well, this TBRI thing.
Yeah. It was a good moment here was just staying on the homework deal. So we went to, we like to go to like escape rooms. If you haven't heard of those are pretty popular with us. And I didn't know much about them. I have to admit, it wasn't me that decided that. That wasn't my idea. But we went to the escape rooms and we had a really good time trying to get out of the escape room. Sometimes we got out, sometimes we needed a lot of help. And it was just fun to see the kids light up and have all of that. And so we had a homework assignment where my daughter had to do an escape room kind of set up for her history class.
Oh.
And she gives me this assignment like at 8 o'clock at night. I'm tired and it's due tomorrow. But she really wanted to be like the experience that we had. And I caught myself very fast thinking back to like, okay, she really had a great experience with this escape room. And so in this moment, how can we make it fun? So we put music on to kind of mimic the escape room. We start coming up with creative ideas together. And I would have probably missed that moment had I not thought about how much of experience she had with that. And now she's trying to do it. Yes, she waited at the last minute. Yes, we had a situation of urgency, but in that moment I was able to keep myself calm and say, she's really bringing homework and she wants this to be a fun experience. So I pride myself on that moment because I think I would have missed that and just went right into, wow, can't we get this? This is what we need to do, and made it not fun and connecting. So.
Well, I think it's such a critical story because how many of us have had our kids show up at 8 or 9 o'clock the night before, and you're like, I don't even have a piece of poster board here. Like, I don't know how we're like
Walmart
the science, right? Yeah. The science fair is tomorrow. Are you kidding me? Or you want to do like something so elaborate that we would actually like one time we had to grow a plant. Right. And it's like, we actually can't do that and have it by tomorrow. You know, like, so it's such a stressful time. And It's a theme. I'm noticing a theme among all of us on our team that, you know, there's a limit at nighttime to how well we are able to like really show up because we're tired. Because if you're mindful all day long and if you're doing this all day long, you do run out of energy, right? And then it's like the easiest time to slide backwards. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple extra questions at you because you are like kind of the OG trainer around here.
OG.
And you're one of the few left that actually got to directly work with Dr. Purvis. Would you share what that experience was like?
With Dr. Purvis? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Or a couple of stories or something that...
It was life-changing. And Emily was there, I think a year or so. Emily was there before I started, and I just didn't know exactly what TBRI was. I didn't know what the institute at the time called the Institute of Child Development was. And and I had my kids, and then I had my, you know, was still, you know, early in our marriage, you know, and things like that. So it was just, you know, a lot of things hitting us at once. And I just came back from Cincinnati to kind of work, and it was just trying to find a job, but it became more than a job. I think that's one of the things I loved about Dr. Purvis, that she was talking about being a good presenter, how we serve our families, what we want for our families and our kids. But she was also instilling in me who I was and relighting this fire for me, that who I was and who I can be to stay in this field. And what she was just saying was about parenting. She was talking to me about not just work, but just about my kids and how's that going and how's that thing going with your son. And she would just ask you, how do you feel? It was so amazing to have this lady come by and you're trying to stay busy and look like you're working. And she'll say, Henry, you've been working pretty hard. Are you keeping your head over water? Did you want to go lay down? I had a recliner down the hall in the office. And I'm like, she's like really caring about who I am and if I'm okay and mentally. And then how's the thing going with your wife? Is she still doing some stuff like that? And it was just, and then with Dr. Cross too, these lunches and just having just, you know, like having mom and father figures, you know. And so I lost both of my parents at early ages. Uh-huh. And they kind of were like giving you some of that. It was like, this is kind of cool. So I just cherish all those moments and talks and just, you know, when she had to be firm with everyone and when she had to be nurturing, I just cherished all of that. So it just became like a work family for me. So good lady, great lady. Definitely miss her, but she did a lot of work for me and I'm still trying to do it and pass it on to my kids.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, Henry, everyone on our team feels how important it is to you. To share her stories, to share her story, and to really honor her and Dr. Cross for sure, just through the work that you do. But it always kind of perks me up a little bit when in a meeting or something, you'll talk about like, well, I mean, when we had Dr. Purvis, and you kind of share or bring back some of those things. And because TBRI is its own journey and it is evolving. And I always appreciate that you really bring us back to kind of the roots and where it all started, because it's always been see the need, meet the need. I mean, right. Like it's always been in practice and then, like, do you need to take a nap in my recliner? Are you resting? Or do you have too much work? Right. It's like seeing the need and meeting the need. So I just really appreciate you sharing those stories. It just warms my heart a little bit. Yes. So
very funny lady down there.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite funny story?
Oh, I probably have a lot. I have to think of some, but I mean, she's just down to earth. I don't know exactly much more to say than that. That was the good thing, is just seeing that she had the pressure, and that was sometimes I worried about her, pray for her and David, that they had the pressure of this. You know, I didn't realize how much it was until I started getting into it and traveling with them and seeing all these people and you meet parents who just lost hope. They've lost hope, and they're just in the thick of it right now, and they're looking to us for hope, and we have to kind of be mindful of how much anxiety that can produce. I've had that happen to me where I feel like I need to just fix everything for these parents. I hate to see them going through it, but she was just so funny about bringing us back to like the reality of, you know, hey, you know, and just seeing her vulnerable moments, you know, and being mm-hmm. transparent. It's hard to think of them, but I think that she normalized who she was to say, I'm not this type of person. I'm not trying to be this type of person. And if you heard her say some type of swear word, she would already repent on that. But but just to hear her be normal and to see those type of moments, mm-hmm. we're on planes and stuff. It was just like, okay, I can do this, you know, because I was feeling the pressure and she can sense it. So
yeah, that's just, so fun. Her,
yeah, yeah,
I love that.
Trying to be appropriate.
Of course, of course. Yes. Always with respect for Dr.
That's
Purvis.
Right, what a right.
What an honor it was to know her. Okay, I have some fun rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. What is your favorite food?
Wings, chicken wings.
What kind of sauce?
I do buffalo. I always say the only thing better than buffalo chicken wings is another buffalo and chicken wings.
Fair enough. How do you take your coffee?
I just take it with 4 sugars and 2 creams.
That's okay, now me. Everybody knows how to bring you coffee. what is your theme song or walk-up song?
Oh, man. I didn't think about that one.
You're allowed to pass.
I'll pass right now.
Okay.
I'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vacation spot.
For me personally, if it was just me, I would go to Cannon Beach. That's my happy place.
Where's that?
That's in Portland. That's outside of Portland, Oregon. It's on the Oregon coast. So I'll go to Cannon Beach if that was me.
Okay.
Just me. Family stuff will be beach stuff. We usually go to Galveston. So
okay, yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Sports team.
Cowboys.
I knew it.
Easy.
Yeah. What's your favorite hobby?
It used to be bowling, but now it's just kind of like hanging out and eating wings and playing dominoes.
There you go. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. We do that almost every Friday. So
I forgot we didn't tell our listeners that we have a bowling champ in the house today.
Used to be pretty good. Used
yeah.
to be. Thanks.
You were on the team, right?
Yeah, I did some league, travel leagues. I did bowling college. So
yeah. College, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to come back to the theme song or you want to pass it?
I try to balance it out with my music, but I notice I go to James Cleveland. I'm an oldie. James Cleveland is out of the South. This is a pastor in the Mississippi Choir. So I go to Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. So
okay.
That might be my song.
I love it. Henry, thanks for being on the podcast. We've waited a long time for you to be here and it's been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys make this great. Y'all keep doing a good job.
Thank you.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Karen Purvis Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.